Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Chapter 29 happens to be the last chapter in the book of Chronicles, so it might be easier to go to 2 Chronicles and then go backwards. When my oldest daughter, Erin, was very young, she loved to give Christmas gifts. And she wanted to give mommy a gift, but she had no money. But daddy had money, and daddy knew what mommy wanted. And so daddy and Erin would go shopping, and we would buy the gift. Actually, you know, I gave Erin the money, and Erin bought the gift. And we would come home and we'd wrap the gift, and then she'd put her name and Paul's name and Michaela's name on the gift. And then Rebecca would open up the gift from the kids. Now, that present, did the kids buy it? No. Did they work for it? No. Did they earn it? No. The only reason they had the gift is because as their father, who loves them, I gave them the resources to get the gift, and they put their name on it. The gift had nothing to do with what they had or what they did. It was just from me to them to give to someone else. And this morning, as we look at 1 Chronicles 29, we're going to see David really realize that all of the blessings he has in his life is much like that story about my kids and the Christmas present. David realizes through our text that everything he has been given is not his own, but is actually a gift from God. The first 9 verses of 1 Chronicles 29 actually describes the offering that King David and the people gave, and it was an extravagant offering. They're giving it to build the temple that Solomon is going to build. And so the first 9 verses talk about this incredible offering the people gave. You might want to read that sometime this week to read how generous the people were. But in verse 10, this is what David begins to talk about, how God is the source of every blessing that he has. It says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all,'" look at this, "'for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours.'" Everything in heaven and earth is yours. "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." Verse 12, "Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might." Get this, "In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." David is saying, no one becomes great unless it is God who gives them favor, unless God who gives them this blessing. Verse 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." In other words, we haven't given our own. You have given to us, and we gave back to you. It goes on in verse 15, "We are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand," and there's that word again, "all is your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." David is saying that all things come from God. How many of you picked that up in there? He says, our time, our money, our possessions, our gifts, our talents, our resources, everything, all of our blessings, our health comes from God. Now, some of you might be here this morning saying, wait a second, Craig, you're saying everything. Everything. I have a car. I have a house. I have nice possessions. I have worked hard over the years. I have saved for them. I have done this. Well, maybe you have, but let me ask you this. Who gave you the energy to go to work? Who gave you also the abilities and the skills and the knowledge to do what you do at work, to make what you make at work so you can buy what you have? Who gave that to you? God. And who gave you favor in the first place with the employer or maybe a contact in the company? Who got you the job at that place? It was the Lord. Who has given you the health to wake up in the morning, put on your clothes and tie your shoes and go to work and do it? It's the Lord. You see, everything we have comes from God, including our spouse, our kids, our family, our parents, everything we have. And this is what David is getting at. He says, we need to understand that everything we have comes from God. God is the source of everything. And God delights when we give back to Him and when we give to others. God takes delight in that. Now, this morning, we're continuing our series called The ABCs of Stewardship. And last week, we began with the letter A, and the letter A stood for attitude. And we learned that stewardship, and this is what the definition of stewardship we learned last week, is utilizing our God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-ordained results. And we need a proper attitude towards the resources God has given us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is that our blessings, the letter B is for blessings, and the blessings are our resources from God. Everything we have been blessed with is a resource from God, not from our creativity, not from our hard work, not from our ingenuity, not from our, you know, our people skills, not from our contacts. It is a blessing from God. It was easy for my daughter to give a Christmas present to her mother. Why was that? Because she didn't have to pay for it. How many of you wish you could give Christmas presents, the perfect Christmas present this year without paying for it? Wouldn't that be great? Well, do you know something? You don't have to pay for it because it's not your money. It's God's money that He gives to you. And then you can buy Christmas presents. But that just doesn't compute. It doesn't seem right. But friends, the truth about us as parents giving our kids money to buy presents is the same thing as God giving us money to give gifts and to provide and to help other people out. Because God is our Father who provides for us. We're told in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from your work ethic. No, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Friends, our God is a giving God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is a giving God. He is not stingy. He is not meager in His provision. And I'd like you this morning, as we take a look at our giving God, on the back of your bulletin in the sermon section, we're going to learn three truths about our God who is a great giver. The first truth this morning, if you're taking notes, number one is God's power. We want to look at God's power. This refers to His ability to give. Here's a good question. Does God have the ability to give you and me what we need? How many think He has the ability to give what we need? Okay, that's pretty much most of you. The rest of you, we hope to convince you on this point that God has the ability to give you whatever you need. In verse 12, in our text, 1 Chronicles 29:12, this is what David said, both riches and honor come from you. Our money and honor, the prestige that people give us, they come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. God gives us the power and might to work, to do what we need to do. In your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. When I was in college, I went to Bible college studying for ministry, and one day we were in a chapel service, and they sang a song that we sang this morning. It was the very last song in our song service, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I had heard this song, I'd sang it several times over my life growing up in church. But I, at this time, was going through a difficult time, just going through a real struggle in college, and we came to the part of the song where it said, all I have needed, thy hand has provided. And when we sang that part of the song, it dawned on me what I'm going through right now, all that I need, the emotional, the spiritual resources that I need to make it through this struggle, all I have needed, God has provided, and I have it now. And tears just began to stream down my face as I realized, you know what? I can make it. God is here, and He is providing for me. And friends, there may be some of you here today, you're going through a tough time. You are struggling. I want you to know, all that you need, He has provided. God has the power. God has the ability to meet whatever need you're facing. If it's a physical need, a financial need, a spiritual need, an emotional need, a mental need, whatever your need is, God can provide it. He has the power to provide whatever it is you need in this situation. That's the first truth we need to really grab a hold of. God has the power to provide. Okay? Here's the second truth. Are you ready for truth number two about our giving God? The second truth is God's provision. God's provision. And God's provision deals with His willingness to give to us. You see, not only is God able, not only is He powerful to meet whatever our need is, but He is willing. How good would it be if someone was able to do it, but they said, forget it, you're on your own, I'm going to do nothing for you. We'd be in deep weeds. God is not only able, but He is willing. Would you give your child the order to go to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk, but not give them the money to buy the milk? Some of you would. No, 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 no. No, you'd say, here, go to the store and get me a gallon of milk, and you'd give them the money to get the milk. You might have to say, make sure you bring the change back, okay? And we would give our kids the resources they need to do what we've told them to do. Friends, God is your Father, has given you and I the resources we need to do what He has told us to do. If God tells us to do something, or to give something, then He will give you and I the resources, the blessings, the time, the talent, and the treasure that we need to do them. We can trust God. When God asks you to go through a trial or a difficulty, don't think for a moment He's leaving you out in the cold. God will give you the strength. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the faith to walk through that difficulty, to walk through that problem, to make it through whatever it is you're facing. God gives us the resources. A problem that we run into sometimes is that we want God to give us resources that we don't need at the moment. We want God to give us something. But you see, God gives you today what you need today. Right now, at this moment, if someone said to me, Craig, are you ready to die for Jesus? Die a martyr's death, to be tortured and beaten? I would have to be honest with you and say, no, I'm not ready. But I'm willing. And here's the thing. It's okay to not be ready because I don't need dying grace at this moment. I'm not facing a martyr's death at this moment. But I believe that if I would be facing that, God would give the grace. His grace would be sufficient to see me through whatever it is I need at the moment. You see, God will supply you what you need when you need it. A saying I say to my kids all the time, God is seldom early, but he's never late. They know it. And that's true. God is seldom early, but he's never late. God will give us what we need when we need it. Sometimes we're like the children of Israel that are mentioned in Exodus 16. When God led them out of slavery, and there was over a million. Historians believe there was probably about 3 million or more Jews that came out of slavery in Egypt. And so they're wandering in the desert. They need food. And God says, okay, I'm going to provide food for you. I'm going to give you bread from heaven. It was called manna. I'm going to give you bread from heaven every day. Now, here's the kicker. I want you to only pick up bread for that day. Okay? Those were God's instructions. You know what some of the people did? They went out and they gathered up a whole bunch of bread and they tried to store it away for tomorrow. But in the morning when they woke up, that bread was stinky and molding and it was full of worms and it had rotted overnight. And here's the thing, God only gave them what they needed for the day. And God will do that for us. God wants us to have a daily dependence upon him. God wants us to trust him for the moment. God will give you your manna, what you need today. He will give you exactly what you need. Not what you need for this week, not for a month, not for a year. But if you need wisdom, you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this next week. You know what? Just take a day at a time. Don't be anxious. Anxiety is when I am trying to figure out how God is going to provide, or actually how I'm going to make it on my own for the next several days, or make it through this time. Trust in God for your moment now. God is able to provide. God is willing to provide. But here's the third truth about our giving God, and it's, if you're taking notes this morning, it's God's partnership. God has a partnership with us, and that is his reason to give. Take a look at the last part of verse 14. The last part of verse 14, David said, "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and is all your own." Friends, God gives to us so that we can turn around and give back to him and give to others. Do you know why God gives to us so we can give to others? So that you and I can be like him. Because God is a giving God. How much has God given? You think he gave his only son so that you and I could be saved from our sin so that we can spend eternity with him in heaven. I mean, how generous, how giving is that? How many of us would sacrifice our kids and have them tortured and beaten so that someone else could go to heaven? Jesus gave so much. And the thing is, God wants us to be like him. And that's why God wants us to be givers back, because giving is the very nature of God. God so loved the world that he hoarded. God so loved the world that he kept. God so loved the world that he took. No, God so loved the world that he gave. And when we give, we are flowing out of the nature of God. In your notes this morning, there is a diagram under number 3. It says partnership pyramid. I want you to take a look at that for a moment. On the top of the pyramid, it says God gives. And on the left side, it says to others. You see, God gives certain things to you, different things to you, because your journey is different than my journey. God has not asked me to walk in your journey, and so God gives you different things than he gives to me. Now, on the right side of the pyramid, it says, to me. God gives things to me that he doesn't give to you. And that's because my journey is different. You know what sometimes happens? We look and we say, well, God, you haven't blessed me with what you gave Bobby Joe over there. You haven't blessed me with what you gave Fred. And we start looking at it, but friends, God has not called us to walk in Bobby Joe or in Fred's life. And so God gives you things that he doesn't give me and vice versa. So that is what happens. God gives, but friends, this pyramid is not complete. It is not whole. I want you to take your pen this morning and on the sides, up at the top near God, I want you to draw arrows going back to God. Because here's the thing, God wants us to give the blessings that he's given to us back to him. And so you take the blessings, the resources, the time, the talent God has given you, and you give back to God. And then I am supposed to do the same. I give back to God. But this pyramid still isn't complete because God wants you and I to give to each other. So draw a line across and make arrows because I need to give to you and you need to give to me. That is the importance of the body of Christ. Just as our human body, our body parts need each other. They have to give and receive from each other for the body to work. As a body of Christ, for us as a church to make an impact in people's lives, we all need to be giving and receiving from each other. And so when we give to each other and we give back to God, then we have completed the pyramid. And actually, giving to each other is giving to God. Did you realize that? When you and I indirectly give, when we give to each other, we are indirectly giving to God. Jesus taught this in Matthew 25, 31. He talks about a partnership that I've tried to illustrate through this pyramid diagram. And this is what Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer to them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. As we wrap up our message this morning, I want us to quickly look at four observations that we draw from Jesus' teaching right here. The first observation from Matthew 25 is this: we are accountable to God for what we do with his blessings. We are accountable to God. Someday, we are going to stand before God and he's going to say, what did you do with the time, the talent, the treasure, the resources I gave you? We're all going to stand before him. That's what Jesus teaches in this story. The second observation is that giving to others is giving to God. Giving to other people is giving to God. When we see a person who is hurting or needy, and we give to them, it's like we're giving to God. When we help someone in need, it's like we have helped God. That's how partnership works. And God gives to us. Many times, God gives things to us so that we can give to others. I know there's been times when I have seen a need, maybe at the store or just in someone's life, and God's been bumping me, nudging me, Craig, I want you to talk to the person. I want you to meet the need. I want you to give something. And there's times I've yielded to that. And then there's other times I've said, no, God, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. When God speaks to us, when God lays someone on our hearts, he's opening a door for us to give to him, not just to them. Listen to the promptings of God in our life. It is so easy for us not to do that. The third observation that Jesus taught is not giving to others who are in need is not giving to God. When we see someone who's in need and we don't give to them, we have just rejected Jesus. That's kind of a powerful statement, but that's what Jesus taught. God lives vicariously through you and me, and he meets needs, he feeds the thirsty and the hungry, and he helps them, and when we withhold, we're withholding from him. The last observation that Jesus taught is that we are incomplete without each other. The needs of needy people were met by someone else. Without someone else, the needs weren't met. At the beginning of the message, we showed you the video of Satoda. Satoda, her needs were met because people around the world in churches like ours said, I'm going to give one day's wage so that she can be blessed. We don't realize it. We just think, oh, we're giving to an organization. We're just putting it in a bag. Friends, you are not just putting it in a bag. When you give to others and you're giving to God. I encourage you, 4 weeks from now, give one day's wage. Last year, we gave $9,000 as a church, and that's great. I commend you on that. That's awesome. Because the last time we did it, we gave $3,000. So we tripled, okay? That's awesome. But I read a recent statistic that the median income of Casper houses is $54,217. Now, there may be some of you, you are above that. There may be others, especially those on Social Security, and that's all you have, you're below that. But that is the median average in Casper. We have 135 families that call Casper Faith their home. If you would take the median times how many families we have, as a church, that means we should give $20,000 to one day to feed the world. So $9,000 is great. It's better than $3,000, but we've got a little bit more if we're just average. How many want to be average? No one wants to. How many want to be above average? Okay. Now you say, how do we do it? If every part of the body just gives one day wage, and for some of you, that might only be $50. For some of you, it might be $100 or $200 or $300 or $500 or $1,000. Yeah, hey, when we all work together, we can do something powerful. But I want to challenge you. Let's not just do this for a special offering one day a year. Let's begin to live our lives seeing the blessings we have, the time, our abilities, our skills, our possessions, our wealth. And we say, God, they're not mine. You've just given them to me, and I get to give out the Christmas presents. Sometimes it's a present of time. It's a present of encouragement. Sometimes it might be a coat. Sometimes it might be a gift of money. Sometimes it might be food. Sometimes it's ministering in another way. But let's be a people that say, God, I've realized that all I have is yours. And so when you lay a need on my heart, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to give because you can provide and you will provide if I'm just willing to partner with you. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and we can just blow our money any way we want and say, God, you got to provide for me. We have to be good stewards. We have to be wise stewards. But we also have to be generous and not stingy stewards. This morning, as we wrap things up, God has given you and I more than we could ever give away to anyone else. Because God gave Jesus. No matter what I give of my time or my abilities as a pastor, no matter how much money you and I give, we can never come close to the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Do you realize when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took our sin upon him? And he bore, I don't know how, but he bore in his body the eternal punishment for the sins of us all. He was separated from God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Jesus went through, pardon the expression, hell. He experienced hell for you and me. Why? Because he loves us. He wants relationship with us. He wants a partnership with us, and he wants you and I to share that partnership with others. And as a steward, we have the ability to do that. This morning, there may be some of you here, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. When we're talking about God partnering with you, that's just a really foreign concept. Because you feel God is distant. You feel God is away from you. And the reason for that is because of sin. All of us are sinners. There is no one in this church who is perfect. There is no one here that is righteous and good enough to go to heaven. All of us deserve eternal punishment in hell. But Jesus died for our sin. And if you're here this morning and you need to ask God to forgive you, maybe you've sensed you're not right with God. Maybe there's been a tugging on your heart. You know that God wants a relationship with you. All you have to do, it's simple as ABC. A, admit that you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died for your sin. And C, confess your sin and that Jesus needs to be the Lord or the boss of your life. You see, when we give up control of our life and say, God, I've sinned, I'm sorry, I want to live for you, I want to be a steward, I want to enter into partnership, God, I'm not calling the shots anymore, God will come into your life, he'll save you of your sin, and he'll give you a brand new life.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.